great job. Next up, we have Samantha.
10 times better performance can make a big difference. Castrol Edge Motor Oil gives your engine 10 times better high temperature performance. Castrol Edge, better oil for maximum performance. Now through March 4th, get 5 quarts of Castrol Edge or Edge High Mileage Full Synthetic and an oil filter for $36.99, only at AutoZone.
Claim based on Sequence 3 H-Test versus API SP test limits.
Did you know that feeling sluggish or weighed down could be a sign that your digestive system isn't working at its best? Taking Metamucil every day can help. Metamucil fiber powders help promote your daily digestive health using a plant-based fiber called psyllium. The gelling action of this special fiber traps and removes waste so you can feel lighter and more energetic. Metamucil, promoting digestive health for a better you. Learn more at Metamucil.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM, Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franz, and happening now in Atlanta, Fulton County District Attorney Fonnie Willis is on this witness stand at a misconduct hearing about a relationship with a prosecutor. Willis is overseeing the Georgia racketeering election case against former President Trump. ABC's Olivia Rubin has more.
What Trump and his co-defendants are seeking is for her and her entire office to be removed from prosecuting the case and the indictment dismissed entirely. Now, I've spoken to a number of experts who don't, none of whom believe that the indictment is going to be dismissed over this, but the judge has indicated there are concerns about the relationship and the allegations that she potentially financially benefited. And she denies any allegations of misconduct and denies that she has a conflict of interest.
Kansas City police say yesterday's deadly shooting at the Chiefs victory rally was due to a dispute between several people and not terror related. Several people are in custody. Authorities at Malmstrom Air Force Base have lifted the shelter in place following an active shooter alert. No one was injured. This is ABC News. Consumers making use of Apple's 14-day return policy.
We've been working on this for years.
With great fanfare, Apple's Tim Cook announced the company's Vision Pro virtual reality headset on Groundhog's Day. And even though users like ABC's Will Reeve were floored with what they could do with it.
Wow. I feel like I must look pretty silly, but I'm having a fantastic time.
The Verge is now reporting that a lot of folks are taking advantage of Apple's 14-day return policy. More and more people posting on social media, they're bringing their $3,500 headsets back, complaining of headaches, eye strain, even motion sickness. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
A New Hampshire lawmaker wants to amend state law to include an official pronunciation of the capital city, Concord. The lawmakers also want to include an official pronunciation of New Hampshire and state law, making it clear sheer rhymes with fur. He's proposing the pronunciation for Concord be entered into state law in a section that includes the official state animal, state sport, and song. Michelle Franz in ABC News.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With Venture X, earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges where you just check in and chill out. Open up a world of possibilities with Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Getting your biggest tax refund from Jackson Hewitt can lead to some spirited reactions.
Jackson Hewitt, yeah!
Jackson Hewitt is so sure they'll get you your biggest refund that if they don't, you get your money back plus $100.
Jackson Hewitt, yeah!
Switch to Jackson Hewitt and we'll beat what you paid last year, even if you filed online.
Hewitt, yeah!
Ain't nothing to it. Switch to Jackson Hewitt and pay less for tax prep, guaranteed. Proof of prior year payment required when filing. New clients only at participating locations through April 7th. Terms at JacksonHewitt.com.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Ayling. Wisconsin Congressman Mike Gallagher again votes no on a House impeachment.
On Tuesday, the Green Bay lawmaker was one of three Republicans who opposed a second Republican effort to impeach Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. This time, it passed by one vote. After his no vote last week, Gallagher announced over the weekend he won't be running for re-election in November. While Wisconsin Republican Scott Fitzgerald argued Mayorkas' handling of the border crisis constitutes wrongdoing, experts say it falls short of the high crimes and misdemeanors required for impeachment. The U.S. Senate is unlikely to follow through. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Two men arrested for drug running at the Middleton Airport have made their initial appearance in federal court.
The FBI says 36-year-old Corvallis Stewart and 35-year-old Larry Williamson Jr. were caught at the airport last week with over 46 pounds of fentanyl pills and 17 pounds of meth and fentanyl mixture. Agents say they were tipped off by someone at an Arizona airstrip who said the two men claimed they were getting practice time in the air by flying to Wisconsin in a private rental plane. Agents allegedly found the men at the airport with the drugs inside of their vehicle. The two could face life in prison on the charges. Raymond Newpert, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Wisconsin farms are still struggling to get internet access. USDA statistician Greg Bussler says a higher percentage of farms had access to the internet in 2022 compared to 2017.
The number in 2022 went down to 46,091 farms, but the percentage went up because the number of farms dropped.
59% of Wisconsin farmers responding to the 2022 Census of Agriculture are getting their internet from a mobile provider, while 53% have access to broadband. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
We're local, we're friendly, and we're fast.
You gotta love the hometown guys.
Let the hometown guys at Adams Super Service keep your vehicle's maintenance up to date. With SmartFlow from Adams Super Service, you will see what your vehicle needs, along with a detailed inspection emailed directly to you. Visit AdamsSuperService.com to schedule your appointment. Your Napa Gold Certified Car Care Center is Adams Super Service of Durand.
You gotta love the hometown guys.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. We've finally flipped to a February vibe, with the sparkle of the snow under mostly sunny skies as highs hover near 30. It's a bit breezy today with a northwest wind that's going to be dragging in cooler temperatures for tomorrow. Highs only hit the low 20s. Do you need help with back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now, 1-800-281-8193. Currently, it's 27.
Little time at the National Farm Machinery Show in Louisville, Kentucky here today. Great show again this year. It is just full of folks who are checking out new equipment and much more here throughout the Kentucky Expo Center. And so we're going to be spending some time out on the floor here later today and talking with folks and learn about new products. So I'm looking forward to that, but I'm also looking forward to today's program here on AOA. Coming up here in segment two, we're going to listen to a recent conversation I had with Dave Hightower from the Hightower Report. He has some interesting things to say about the ag economy in general, so looking forward to that. In segment three, we're going to get an update from Justin Tupper with the U.S. Cattlemen's Association. He's speaking at the USDA Ag Outlook Forum here today and tomorrow in Washington, D.C. We're going to talk about cattle industry issues with him. And then at the end of the program, we're going to talk to Tillman White with the U.S. Cotton Trust Protocol and learn more about enrollment for the Cotton Trust Protocol and much more. So great show lined up for you here today on AOA. Speaking of the Ag Outlook Forum, we got some new baseline numbers out from USDA bright and early Thursday morning. How's that impacting the markets? Let's talk about it. Mike Zuzulo, Global Commodity Analytics, is joining us here today on AOA. Mike, good to talk with you again. And looking at those Ag Outlook Forum numbers, the corn ones kind of surprised me a little bit. They were a little more friendly than I thought they were going to be, Mike.
Yeah, I think the USDA, and this is going to be interesting to hear what you have to say, Jesse, at the Farm Machinery Show, because 2024 is lining up to one of those years, unless you got a lot of technology on that big iron, is this going to be one of those shows where you do a lot of looking and not very much buying, because USDA's forecast really does hinge upon this sharp decline in farm incomes that's expected this coming year. And that means the Nove bean dees corn ratio, you know, spend as little as possible. What has gone down the most in terms of cash prices? And it's really been the corn in the market as far as Illinois and also for the December future. So USDA tapped into that, bringing in an acreage base that was about 700,000 acres less than some of the average trade guesses on the news wires to 91 million. That's still about 700,000 bigger than what I think it's going to be if we hold this current bean corn ratio through the second half of February. So that's one of the major things to be watching. Beans, they came in 900,000 acres bigger than average trade guess at 87.5 million.
And on the wheat side as well, wheat was down a little bit on the planted acreage, but pretty much in line with expectations. Mike, you and I talked about this on the Market Talk program Wednesday afternoon. We kind of had that Valentine's Day type massacre in the markets on Wednesday. And then you get these USDA Outlook Forum numbers here on Thursday. But overall, this kind of mindset of commodity deflation is holding in these markets. The funds don't have a reason to get out of their short positions here. And you made the comment to me that we almost have to feed the bear. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, you know, my first Ag Outlook meeting was either 1998 or 1999. And what I quickly picked up from the people that were training me and teaching me about Ag Econ is that what does the average price look like from USDA on these big updates? And that's where the wheat comes into play the most, Jesse. And feed the bear means you better have some negative news, price news, to continue to keep this kind of a price action, this trend going. And I say that gently, because we haven't seen China come back from the Lunar New Year. So that's a big deal in the next few days. They should be back up and running pretty much full speed by a week from today. But the average price on wheat from USDA this morning was $6 a bushel. That's an SRW price. The cash soft red wheat price right now in, say, northwestern Ohio near the Lake Erie area is around $5.40. So you're 60 cents underwater compared to the USDA average cash price. So why wouldn't you find, if you were the market, to say to yourselves, well, we've done our job. We've taken the market price down to the point where we're 60 cents lower than the USDA's average cash price this morning. And I think that and a couple other features still makes wheat very much my leader in terms of forming a medium-term low that I can count on for the row crops.
In terms of these row crops, do we have to go a little bit lower potentially to try and find some support to get any sort of bounce here in this window, Mike? What do you think? What are the charts telling you?
You know, you brought up the word deflation, and I'm glad you did, Jesse. I think the charts are saying you could, but I think this report, once again, total usage on corn this year, USDA is up 1%. Total usage on beans, we're up 6%, thanks a lot to almost an 8% jump in biodiesel. And then the wheat total usage is up over 2%. We don't need to go any lower. We're not losing demand at these prices. We're actually picking up demand in terms of year over year. I would also say, what does the USDA 181 corn yield do for the market when we just made a record high 177.3 and the five-year average is 173? You know, 181 is a stretch. That's how I'm looking at it. So we could shave 300 million bushels off that 2.5 billion bushel carryover very, very easily, just because USDA pushed us so high on the national yield this upcoming year. So there's a couple things I'm looking at.
I know I'm going to, as I talk with folks here at the Farm Machinery Show, I think one of the things I'm going to be curious to hear about or listen for is, you know, what they're doing in terms of their marketing. I just don't think there's many easy answers for quite a few folks here right now at some of these price levels, at least on the 23 crop, if they haven't sold the 23 crop, Mike.
100% agree. My best marketers I work with did not get what they wanted to get done this year as compared to 2022. So we are really behind the gun at this point for 23 and now 24. And I think that's where the deflationary mindset, feeding the bear mindset, really does rest with the Chinese policy and the Federal Reserve policy as much as it does the supply demand fundamentals, maybe even more. And that's why I always talk about the funds versus the fundamentals.
How about over in the livestock trade? I know you've been tracking some things on the cattle side, finding some good correlations on charts there. It looks like we're kind of mixed on Thursday. Any thoughts in the cattle trade?
Yeah, the negotiated cash lost a couple bucks, it seems like, in light trade. I think that's a really good barometer for what the futures and the funds are looking at right now, Jesse. Also, that cutout market is starting to leak a little bit more. Makes sense with Lent. I would put a lot of pressure on the weekly close in the fat cattle because we tried to take out last week's highs and failed. We were able to do that in the feeders, but not the fats.
I know we're a little quieter on Thursday, but also thinking back to Wednesday, that cattle hog spread was working overtime, it felt like, on Wednesday's trade, Mike.
Yeah, and you know, they had a reason to do it on the export sales this morning, 83% higher on pork export sales versus last week, compared to down 19% on the beef side. China was the number two buyer on both, taking 27% of pork and 22% of the total beef sales this week. I was very surprised and very happy to see that, given their Lunar New Year holiday.
Very true. Very true. Mike, final thoughts. What do you want to reiterate to folks? What do you want to drive home here as we get to the end of the week?
Well, if we can't get a low in the wheat market, it's going to be, I think, because of the macro fundamentals. Just keep your eye on the wheat at this point, because that 47 million planted acres is a half million less than the trade was thinking coming into this morning. So I really do think that low needs to come in the wheat first, Jesse.
All right. GlobalCom with two M's, research.com. That is where you can find Mike Zuzulo with Global Commodity Analytics. Mike, always great to talk with you. Thanks for joining us on AOA.
Have a great time in Louisville.
I will do my best here. We are at the National Farm Machinery Show in Louisville. We're going to be spending some time on the floor today, but coming up here on the rest of the program, we got some great conversations, including up next, a recent discussion I had with Dave Hightower from the Hightower Report. That's next on AOA. On February's episode of the Monthly Grind with the National Corn Growers Association, we discussed the relationship between the corn and poultry and egg industries with John Del Monte from NCGA, along with Mary Alice Kane and Jenna Gress from the USA Poultry Egg Export Council, known as USAPEEC.
We are a trade association. We represent the U.S. poultry and egg industry who exports, and we represent all sectors. Anyone who's touched by exports and is involved in the industry can be a member of USAPEEC.
From corn's perspective, obviously the poultry industry is a big customer. So as Mary Alice and Jenna both spoke to, exports are obviously an area that they specialize in. Exports account for 28 cents a bushel to the value of corn. So corn has a very vested interest in what poultry exports are doing.
Join us the first Wednesday of every month for the Monthly Grind on AOA. It's a show you don't want to miss.
Every day, our brave military men and women, along with their families, make tremendous sacrifices for our freedom. Patriotic Hearts, a nonprofit organization, is dedicated to supporting these heroes and their families in their times of need. By donating your unwanted car to Patriotic Hearts, you'll be supporting job transition and job fair programs, veteran entrepreneurship, counseling, and retreats for combat veterans and their spouses. Call 800-560-3870. You'll receive a tax deduction, and we'll arrange a free pickup at your convenience. Imagine the difference you can make in the lives of those who have given so much for our country. Your car donation will directly impact military families, veterans, providing them with the support they desperately need. Call 800-560-3870. You can become a part of something bigger. Join us in our mission to uplift and honor our military community. Call 800-560-3870 to donate your unwanted card.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Stay clean and dry while doing chores around the farm with waterproof gear from UtterTech. From waterproof bibbed overalls, aprons, pouches, jackets, and more, UtterTech has the workwear to keep you clean, dry, and working efficiently on the farm. Just machine wash and dry, and your UtterTech workwear is ready to go for the next day. UtterTech has products for veterinarians, poultry, swine, goat farmers, and even kids, too. See all the UtterTech products designed to help you on the farm at UtterTechInc.com.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA. Jesse Allen here. Well, I've been teasing this interview for a couple of days. Last week, while I was in Nashville for the AgMarket.net conference, I was able to sit down for a few minutes with Dave Hightower from the Hightower Report and get his thoughts on the general market picture, the overall ag economy, and more. Really great conversation. Here is that interview with Dave Hightower with the Hightower Report here on AOA. feels like a lot of folks have just gotten very bearish in this market, right. And that's where the sentiment is. And it's thinking about putting a crop in this year. A lot of these guys and gals who are here at this conference, they're worried about cost of inputs and the price in the market and everything, and just not the greatest feeling, I guess, so to speak. But let's talk about that. Share what you're looking to tell folks here today. I mean, I know a lot of people are focused on the bottom and where that bottom's going to be, but you mentioned to me you're kind of more like, okay, looking at what's going to signal that bottom. Talk about that a little bit, Dave.
Well, I would throw out an idea to the corn and soybean growers at their annual meetings, and that would be to take a page out of the book of OPEC, in which the farmers can get long this market in futures and then have a discussion at their annual meeting that they're going to hold back 15% of the acreage. Because that's really what happens in the oil market, is that OPEC comes up with ways to make the price go higher. But without that, there are several things. We were very unfortunate in terms of the U.S. farmer that production out of Ukraine was not more damaged and longer-term damaged. But there is still their assets, their funding, their seed, their fertilizer, the diesel, all that's still very difficult to come by. And I was at a conference in Bulgaria with Russians and Ukrainians in the same room. And the Ukrainians were very upbeat. They talked, look, this is our situation, this is our reality, and we have to figure out a way to live through it. But, you know, there's going to be a little bit of issue there. They now have ways to get the supply out besides the Black Sea. Mm-hmm. Of course, it's not optimal. So that's one flashpoint that I could see. Unfortunately, another flashpoint is China, which is showing real problems. And I wonder if the Chinese President Xi is going to make it through this even. But, you know, when China catches a cold, or when China sneezes, the rest of the world catches a cold, and particularly in commodities and particularly in the grain markets. So what I would be looking at when we come in for a bottom, we have to – everyone talks El Nino, okay? Mm-hmm. And I've been doing this 40 years, and I've yet to really see a noted impact from El Nino and even La Nina on the U.S.-grown commodities. Where you want to look is in Southeast Asia. You want to look in the palm oil area. You want to look at the soft commodities like cocoa and sugar and coffee. And we've already seen the coffee, sugar, cocoa markets have were one of the best performers last year because the market saw this adverse weather, mm-hmm. and it did hit crops. It hit crops, coffee crops in Vietnam. And so it can also have a little bit of an impact on South America. But I think that's one thing to watch, because energy, palm oil, very significant driving force for corn and soybeans. Mm-hmm. And we've seen the help from the ethanol industry and the biodiesel area. And, you know, palm production is 6, 7, or 8 times, depending on what year, the size of all U.S. production. Mm-hmm. And if you combine all the edible oils besides palm oil, they are a fraction. So if you have a problem in the palm production, it could be an exponential impact on soybean oil, then the entire complex shifts back up. So I would be watching that very closely. And also, it's the oil market.
Sure.
We could see a 40-cent rally in corn. You know, I remember farmers telling me the markets aren't trading fundamentals. And that was because we went through a bad period where it was so bearish and we were overproducing that the markets were just going down off everything. But now it may not trade fundamentals because it may leap higher without really changing the supply and demand balance sheets in the U.S. So oil, Southeast Asia. And, you know, I think China's going to make it through. Mm-hmm. You know, they're still a huge consumer of commodities, and that's going to happen. And, you know, we are getting some rain in the wheat areas that have kind of got us away from that issue. But I would say this, when you're hedging, you don't know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And when you look at where prices are, we're in the lower 25% of the market, and we have record spec and fund shorts in the marketplace. Mm-hmm. So that doesn't mean that additional specs and funds that have never traded, they could come in. But now we're at a point where most of the people that characteristically trade are short the market. And so that should slow the downside. But what happens is when that fulcrum changes, you're going to have 100, not maybe 100,000, but certainly tens of thousands of contracts that are going to be stopped out. Mm-hmm. And so it's not going to be a rally that maybe maintains. But I'm going to have some strategies today to position them for that, because I think, like this conference, farming for profit, instead of looking at that price of corn and soybeans and putting a marketing target on it, I think strategy over opinion is what helps people survive.
Are you worried about the conflict in the Middle East adding volatility, especially in that oil market here in the short term, potentially, Dave?
Absolutely. I mean, we have to realize that even confronted with an overwhelming force, that the Yemeni pirates, they've shown no desire to back down. They've even attacked battleships. But the Iranians are also along that line, which they're very religious. They're a theocracy, so the religion plays a huge role in it. And so there could be if there's an exchange between the U.S. and Iran, and if we put some kind of armaments on the ground in Iran, then you're going to see, you'll see a $30, $40 rally in crude oil. And if you look at a chart of corn and crude oil and soybeans, they're virtually tracking each other. Mm-hmm. So you have to be prepared for that. Yeah. And whether that means you're going to sell, maybe you replace it with a call option right now when we're cheap, knowing that that long call gives you the confidence to sell your cash, and you still have a toe in the water going forward. You don't have to meet a particular yield or a production level either, you know, as long as you know what to sell in cash.
I want to ask you, circling back to China and your comments about, you know, China sneezes, world gets a cold. I know we had the Evergrande issues here just a couple of weeks ago. That was a big headline in the market. And just there's been a lot of talk about the Chinese economy. Do you feel like that Evergrande issue is maybe the start of something here potentially with this Chinese economy situation right now?
Well, it's certainly a symptom of what's been going on already.
Yeah.
And, you know, they've thrown a lot of money at it. And the difference between an open financial market and what China has is that we're not going to know the really bad stuff. And they have the ability to throw the money. You know, they've got $13 trillion in cash kind of securities, even ours, and they've been liquidating our treasuries for 11 months. So I think they can pretty much, it's easier for them to stop a financial market crisis than it is a jobs crisis or what have you.
A lot of farmers here and around the country are worried about just the interest rate environment here in the U.S. and that effect on everything from operating loans to buying equipment to the prices in the markets and commodity inflation, deflation, etc. There's been talk that 2-3 rate cuts might be May now before we see a rate cut. Your thoughts on the overall inflation state here with the Fed right now and how that's playing into the ag side?
I've been around a long time, and the younger people have never seen what normal interest rates are.
Yes.
And that's another thing I'm going to talk about today, that the cost of U.S. government borrowing has gone up, and we really can't afford it now. If I needed to borrow money, if I didn't need to borrow money and I was young, I'd probably borrow it anyway, because this may be the lowest interest rates that you'll get for the rest of your life. That would be my forecast. Mm-hmm. And the non-farm payrolls were strong. This economy continues to show resiliency. Once we get off this, the Fed's this, the Fed's that, I think we're going to be all right. So I would be very afraid. I would lock in my operating, if I was going to buy some land, if I was going to buy a house, if I was going to buy a car, I wouldn't, because they're too expensive. So anyway, that's my view.
Yeah. Dave, I got plenty out of a 10-minute conversation with you. And I do appreciate the time and the knowledge and the insight. And thank you for joining us here in Nashville. We'll have to continue the conversation again in the future, Dave. Thanks so much.
Well, I wish the producers luck. They may need it this year, but you know what? We don't know anything that looks like it's positive now, but it's too negative. How's that? Yeah.
Once again, a great convo there with Dave Hightower from the Hightower Report last week during the AgMarket.net conference in Nashville. All right, coming up next, we're going to talk with Justin Tupper, president of the U.S. Cattlemen's Association, here on AOA.
When it comes to cereal disease protection, Prosaro Pro 400 SC fungicide from Bayer makes all the difference. With three effective active ingredients for overlapping control of foliar and head diseases, and a flexible application window for head scab, it's formulated to lower DON, protect yield potential, and promote superior grain quality. Prosaro Pro. The future of plant health starts here. Visit ProsaroPro.com to learn more. Always read and follow grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
Every Tuesday, we'll be sitting around the table, sponsored by CHS. Join us and learn how CHS creates the vital connections that empower agriculture, helping farmers and ranchers like you succeed. We'll hear from different voices from throughout the cooperative system, sharing stories about how good things happen when people work together. Join us around the table every Tuesday or visit cooperativeownership.com to learn more.
Join Security Financial Bank for the 4th Annual Chippewa Valley Agriculture Conference, February 22nd at Florian Gardens in Eau Claire. Come gather strategies developed specifically for local agriculture producers, from knowing your numbers to application drones. The Chippewa Valley Agriculture Conference has something for everyone. Call 715-672-2412 or visit sfbank.com for more information. SFB, an equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Milk markets were lower with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnikins. At the Mercantile Exchange, March milk down 19 to 16.83, April down 13 to 17.17, May down 13 to 17.53, June down 5 at 18.02. Live cattle markets were mostly higher. Feeder cattle were mostly mixed after the USDA's Ag Outlook Forum gave some bullish momentum for the cattle industry with higher prices and lower supply. Hog markets, meanwhile, closed higher. Again, a strong export inspections report and also lower weights, which could lead to lower supply, helped to support hogs. February live cattle up $1 to $183.40. March feeder cattle up 87 cents to 247.10. April hogs up 47 cents to 85 even. Corn, soybeans, and wheat all were lower after the USDA released its new 24-25 supply and demand balance sheets. Now, USDA's corn stocks and the new crop position were at 2.532 billion bushels, bean stocks at 435 million, wheat stocks at 769 million. There was also a lack of any type of fresh, bullish fundamental news. New crop corn down 7.5 to 456 and three quarters. New crop beans down 14 and a quarter to 1140 and three quarters. March wheat down 18.5 to 567. Minneapolis wheat March down 4.5.
Your Touchstone Energy Cooperative knows safety is the backbone of reliability. From the ongoing training of our line workers to classroom safety programs for our kids, our commitment to electrical safety has always been job one. So we can deliver reliable energy and peace of mind. That's why safety runs through everything we do.
Riverland Energy, your Touchstone Energy Cooperative, your source for power and information.
Looking to upgrade the home appliances? Elsevia Co-op Heating and Cooling features gas and electric ranges, refrigerators, freezers, washers, and dryers from General Electric and Speed Queen. If you need an appliance repair, Elsevia Co-op Heating and Cooling can service all major appliances. Call Elsevia Co-op and ask for Jody Feedy. She'll help you with all of your home appliance needs. Elsevia Co-op, your GE and Speed Queen appliance dealer, Durand.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA, Agriculture of America. Joining us now for a conversation, it's always great to talk with Justin Tupper, the president of the U.S. Cattlemen's Association. Justin, thanks for joining us. I know you are busy. You're in Washington, D.C. for the USDA Outlook Forum here this week. I know you're going to be speaking and more, so really appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us. Hope all is well.
Hey, thanks for having me. Always good to talk, Jesse.
Well, let's start with the fact that you're going to be in D.C. here this week, talking at the USDA Outlook Forum and more, and having conversations with folks. What are some of the things that you're going to be talking about and highlighting during the USDA meeting here this week, Justin?
Yeah, going to be talking about the competition in the livestock industry, and really specifically the lack thereof, and how important competition is to our cattle markets from top to bottom. And I think that's something that sometimes gets overlooked, and we've talked about it a lot on this show, and we talk about it a lot at U.S. Cattlemen. We've got to definitely make sure we always have that second bidder, and we'd like to have that third, fourth, and fifth, and sixth bidder. But to get these markets to where they are and make a free market system work, we've got to have competition, and so that's what we're going to be talking about at their Ag Outlook Forum.
Well, and that lack of competition, I know this is something that it's nothing new, Justin. Like you said, we talked about it on this show before many times, and I know you guys talk about it a lot. There's been various legislation that's been out there to try and change competition in the industry, but really, a lot of the issues surround the fact that it seems like everything kind of comes back to the big four, doesn't it, Justin?
That's exactly right. And you know, that's how they've gotten to where they are, is by squeezing out competition. And they'd like to continue to do that. That's their big business model. And we've got to definitely rear back and dig our heels in and make sure that we make them compete. And I think that gets lost sometimes, that bigger is always better. And in a lot of cases, it's not. And we can see it now. We have a competitive market for one reason, and one reason only right now, is we're short of numbers. And it shouldn't be that way. We should have a competitive market no matter where the shackle space is, or the number of cow herds should be. It should always be competitive. And that's what we've got to really work hard to protect.
Justin, some other issues as well that I know have been talking points in the cattle industry. Traceability, for one. I spent time at Cattle Industry Convention earlier this month in Orlando. That was a topic amongst folks who were there. Really wasn't much in the way of new news that came out of that meeting in terms of traceability and the use of, you know, RFID tags, et cetera. I know this is a hot button issue for you guys at U.S. Cattlemen's Association as well, as we try to figure out a way forward. Talk about where things stand right now in terms of the traceability conversation from your perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think this is something that's been talked about for 20 years. I remember going to Indianapolis to a convention 20-some years ago and having the same conversations. You know, traceability is important. We've proven that when we've had these outbreaks of TB and different things in the countryside, that we've been able to trace them down rather quickly. And to say that mandating RFID tags is going to make it better is really a farce. And they can't tell us that with any proof for any certainty, and they would have to make sure every single animal was tagged for that to be a viable option, and I just don't see that happening. So our position at U.S. Cattlemen is crystal clear. We are against mandatory ID. If somebody wants to voluntarily use the ID tags to try to enhance what they get for their product, we're all about that. That's good for them. We hope that works for them. But to try to say that we need that as a traceable source is just pretty outlandish and pretty far-fetched. As being able to do it as a sale barn owner, I can tell you there's just no possible way that we could run 10,000 of those through and do a good job for our customers and not shrink them and move them in a speed of commerce that works. I'm glad to see that it got watered down and nothing happened there, but I'm betting it's not the last time we have this discussion.
I don't think it's the last time we have this discussion either. I guess in terms of thinking about protecting our herds against, you know, disease outbreaks and foreign animal diseases moving in and things like that, what are your thoughts, you know, as a sale barn owner? Are there things that we can continue to do? Does it fall back, I guess, on having good, you know, standards around our operations and things like that, biosecurity measures taken by ranchers on their own operations? I mean, where's maybe some common ground that we could find here? Because obviously there's differences throughout the cattle industry, Justin.
No, you're exactly right. And I think we have to make sure that we hold our state animal vets in high esteem and make sure that their offices have all the tools they need. So when we do have these issues, that they can get out in the field and get them traced. And you know, I can tell you that we hold in South Dakota, especially in North Dakota too, because I'm familiar with them very much so, very high esteem. The state vet offices do a great job of understanding who they work for. And when a disease of some sort breaks out, what that has to do and what the risk mitigations are. And I think that's where it needs to stay. You start talking about the data that would come from putting all these tags in, and who would hold that treasure box or that data would be very interesting. I think the third part of that is we've got to hold our government and their feet to the fire. They talk about importing from Paraguay and some of these places that their industry standards are so much lower than ours that we've got to be very careful. We're not trying to be protectionists, but we need to be very careful when we're doing business with some of these places that don't have anywhere near the same health standards as we do.
We are talking with Justin Tupper, president of the U.S. Cattlemen's Association, here today on AOA. Justin, another topic, of course, I'm sure we continue to hear about and talk about is farm bill or lack of a new 5-year farm bill. And it seems like that clock is ticking on us, even though we have until, you know, September, October before the extension runs out. Presidential politics probably going to play a role in this here. And there's even chatter already then. It could be 2025 before we get a new farm bill. What's your take on that? What's the latest you've been hearing?
You know, the politics is, isn't it something nowadays? And it doesn't matter which side of the aisle you stand on. I think it's crazy. It used to be that the farm bill and those negotiations were non-political. And it seems like politics have crept into that too. And there's no reason to be kicking the can down the road. We need a farm bill. We know it's 80% food stamps and different things that are not even really farm related other than food and feeding people, but there's no reason to kick the can down the road. You know, that many of the hot button issues have been ironed out through the farm bill. A few details need to be ironed out. There's no reason not to get to work on that and get it done. And I think we need to hold Congress to make sure that it does not get it kicked down the road another year.
Well, obviously, there's so many different things that we need some more certainty on. I know that the argument's been out there, well, we got the one-year extension that gives us at least certainty for this year. But, you know, thinking about the last time things were updated, I think about folks on the grain side, or I'm sure, you know, folks in the livestock industry, there's a lot of different price mechanisms and things like that that, you know, considering everything we've gone through in the last 5-6 years with COVID and more, a lot of that's got to get updated here sooner rather than later. Right, Justin?
Absolutely, you know, and just playing politics and moving it down the road doesn't do anybody any good at any time. And an extension just extends some of the bad politics that have already been played, and not getting updated with some of these programs and getting the price reforms that we need put into the new farm bill, making sure that the indemnity programs work the way they should, making sure the LRP program, which has been a good tool for ranchers, gets funded and continually be used in a correct and a way that works for farmers and ranchers. So, yeah, we want to make sure that hopefully they get this done and get it done in a timely fashion.
Justin, before we wrap up and run out of time here today, obviously you see it firsthand running your sale barn there in South Dakota. I know there's been a lot of talk about when we could start to rebuild this cow herd. When could we start to retain heifers? Things are at, you know, historical lows, for lack of a better term. Your thoughts, what you're hearing from your fellow cattlemen and women and ranchers across the country in terms of when we could start to maybe rebuild this cow, this cattle herd?
Well, I really think, and of course, take into consideration when I start thinking something, it's usually better to run the other way. But, I think we're a year away. We're just not seeing a ton of those, retained. And, you know, you look at these bred heifer prices and they're good. You know, you talk about, 2,500 to 3,000. That's a good market for a bred heifer. But in comparison to selling some of these feeder calves, you know, an 8-weight steer today is bringing $2,000. It really hasn't caught up. So I think those are markers that tell you that we're probably not rebuilding the herd just yet. I think we're probably a year away, and then we could see some pretty good expansion. And of course, depending on environment, weather, always a big factor depending on where you are. But I think as far as numbers go, we could be tight, but we seem to just ramp up imports when we tighten our numbers up here. So there's always something to talk about, always something to work on, Jesse.
There definitely is. And I know folks could stay close with everything going on with the U.S. Cattlemen's Association online, uscattlemen.org. With that, Justin Tupper, president of the U.S. Cattlemen's Association, appreciate the time during your busy schedule. Thanks for joining us on AOA. We'll get you back on the show again real soon.
Thanks for having me.
And once again, Justin Tupper there, the president of the U.S. Cattlemen's Association. Good to talk with him. A lot of issues out there in the cattle industry that definitely got to try and find some common ground on certain issues that are out there in the cattle industry. And good thoughts from Justin and good perspectives from the U.S. Cattlemen's Association. All right, on the way next, we are going to get an update on the U.S. Cotton Trust Protocol, and enrollment is open right now to join the protocol. Tillman White with the U.S. Cotton Trust Protocol will join us next for a conversation here on AOA, Agriculture of America. Back with more right after this.
Oh, this cold.
Honey?
Honey?
Honey, you need DayQuil Severe Honey.
DayQuil Severe Honey gives you powerful cold and flu symptom relief with a honey-licious taste. Because life doesn't stop for a cold.
Okay, I'm ready to go.
Now I'm getting a cold.
Honey.
Try DayQuil Severe Honey for powerful cold and flu relief. DayQuil Severe with honey flavor. The daytime coughing, aching, stuffy head, fever, honey-licious, power through your day, medicine. Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
You took the first step and quit smoking. But even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
This message is for Karina, our mom who finished her high school diploma at age 28. Hi, Mom. It's Amethyst and Nicholas.
Congratulations on getting your diploma.
You worked so hard and have taught us so much.
We love you.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Three little words no parent wants to hear.
My tummy hurts.
And it always seems to happen at the worst times. Like in the middle of the morning rush, when you still have homework to check and lunches to pack, and of course, you're already late for work. Luckily, there's Pepto-Kids. Pepto-Kids gummies help relieve occasional stomach upsets, turning those three words into these three words.
I feel better.
Bad time for stomach upsets? Good time for Pepto-Kids gummies. Fast support for little tummies.
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
On February's episode of the Monthly Grind with the National Corn Growers Association, we discussed the relationship between the corn and poultry and egg industries with John Del Monte from NCGA, along with Mary Alice Kane and Jenna Gress from the USA Poultry Egg Export Council, known as USAPEEC.
We are a trade association. We represent the U.S. poultry and egg industry who exports, and we represent all sectors. Anyone who's touched by exports and is involved in the industry can be a member of USAPEEC.
From corn's perspective, obviously the poultry industry is, you know, is a big customer. So as Mary Alice and Jenna both spoke to, you know, exports are obviously an area that they specialize in. Exports account for 28 cents a bushel to the value of corn. So corn has a very vested interest in what poultry exports are doing.
Join us the first Wednesday of every month for the Monthly Grind on AOA. It's a show you don't want to miss.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Are you over the age of 60 and been diagnosed with lung cancer? If so, you and your family may qualify for a cash award. Our experienced attorneys are standing by to evaluate whether you have a lung cancer claim that qualifies you for a cash award. The consultation is absolutely free, and there is no risk and no money out of pocket. We only receive a fee when we secure you and your family a settlement. 250,000 people are diagnosed with lung cancer every year. You're not alone in this battle. We can help make sure that you and your family are financially safe and that medical expenses are covered. Again, if you've been diagnosed with lung cancer and are over age 60, call now. Don't delay. There are deadlines for filing claims. We're standing by 24/7. Call us at 1-844-903-1744. 1-844-903-1744. That's 1-844-903-1744.
Attorney Advertising. William Stephacker Jr. is the attorney responsible for this ad. Main office, Grant, Pennsylvania. May not be available in all states.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
If you miss an episode of Market Talk, you can listen back to the show anytime. Just search for Market Talk on your podcast platform of choice, and you can hear past episodes of the program on demand.
National FFA Week is February 17th through the 24th, a week set aside for FFA students across the country to share how FFA impacts members every day. I'm National FFA Secretary Grant Norfleet from Missouri. What better way to show your support of FFA than to get involved in FFA Week? Whether it's in person, on the phone, or via social media, be sure to share your FFA stories during hashtag FFA Week, February 17th through the 24th.
America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA, Agriculture of America. Well, joining us now, pleased to have a conversation with Tillman White, program manager with the Cotton Trust Protocol. Tillman, it's great to have you back on AOA with us. Hope you're doing well.
Yeah, thank you, Jesse. It's good to be back.
Well, we got a few things to talk about and to catch up on with the Cotton Trust Protocol here. And I know that, first off, you guys have announced that growers can now enroll in the initiative and apply for the U.S. Climate Smart Cotton Program. So talk about that just to start now that enrollment is available here. And what are folks looking at with this program and joining the initiative?
Yes, sir. So you're right. We just opened up our 2024 enrollment for the U.S. Cotton Trust Protocol and at the same time, the U.S. Climate Smart Cotton Program. So we opened up enrollment at the beginning of January, where producers can go in and enroll into the protocol and also fill out applications for Climate Smart. And the enrollment timeline we're looking at, again, is open up in January and closing that around April 30th at midnight. So currently, we have the 24 enrollment open where producers can go in and of course, enroll in the protocol, but also learn more about the Climate Smart Cotton Program. And also, I'd like to say that growers who completed the enrollment during the 2023, they need to re-enroll for 2024 again. So it's open this January, and we're closing it around April 30th.
Let's break these down separately a little bit too here. As far as the U.S. Cotton Trust Protocol enrollment, talk about enrolling in the protocol and why growers should do it. What are the benefits of enrolling just in the Cotton Trust Protocol overall?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'd say for growers who are not, you know, familiar with the Trust Protocol, never enrolled into the program. Our program, it's a initiative that's free for our producers. It's a voluntary program that provides farm-level science-based sustainability metrics within our program that is designed to set a new standard for delivering value from the fiber all the way to the finished products. Currently, there's a lot of increased pressure and scrutiny on sustainability in the cotton industry and in agriculture in general. But the Trust Protocol provides access to more sustainably grown cotton for our end users or brands and retailers, with also providing science-based and data-led assurances for our consumers. And in addition, for U.S. cotton growers, joining the Trust Protocol helps secure that U.S. cotton remains a leader in global production and provides not only access to a viable market for producers, but provides them with personalized data to help improve their sustainability and their yield. And since the Trust Protocol's launch back in 2020, the program has already welcomed more than 2,000 supplier members across 12 different countries and also 40 companies, including their brands and retailers such as Ralph Lauren, Levi Strauss, Macy's, and J. Crew.
Okay. All right. Great stuff there. Well, and you mentioned the sustainability aspect, and I think that, of course, ties into the U.S. Climate Smart Cotton Program. So talk about that a little bit more for us and kind of expand on your thoughts there in terms of sustainability, not just in the cotton side of the industry, but across agriculture as a whole.
Yeah. So to kind of expand on the Climate Smart Cotton Program, so our program, again, under the umbrella of the Trust Protocol, is laid out in three different levels. So we have level one, where growers enroll into the Trust Protocol and fill out an application based on their farming entity. And then level two is where a producer wants to look at adopting climate smart cotton practices. So maybe they've never looked at cover crops or adopting a nutrient management plan or even going to a no-till system. That's where the level two plays in for the Climate Smart Cotton Program. And their producers can document information about their production practices and looking to adopt those new practices. And going further, looking at level three, that's where we're looking to capture the carbon sequestration or the carbon that's captured based on their practices that they might adopt. So if they adopt cover crops, that's where we're looking at the level three aspect, is what kind of carbon is being sequestered based on the cover crop adoption. So that's kind of the three levels that's included in the Climate Smart Cotton Program at a high level. And looking at this past year when we opened the Climate Smart Cotton Program, we had around 778 farming entities enroll into that level one, where they fill out an application based on their farming entity. And as a program overall, we're looking at to capture 1,650. So we almost met around 50% of the enrollees for level one, which was encouraging to see. And to date, close to around $1.5 million in payments have been made to those producers that enrolled into level one. And we also see some of our producers engaging in level two as well and beginning that process to hopefully jump into level three of the Climate Smart Cotton Program.
All right. Well, I appreciate the rundown on things, Tilman. Good stuff. I know there's some key dates coming up as well. Talk about some of those key dates that are in front of us for both programs, if you can.
Yeah, I think one of the first thing to note is, of course, the protocol enrollment opening up in January, ending at the end of April. And again, at the same time, the producers who enroll in the protocol, if they want to participate in the Climate Smart Cotton Program, specifically with level one, they would also want to enroll during that same timeline of January to April. But also, I'd like to include that the producers who enrolled in Climate Smart this past year in 2023, we would like for them to note that in order to receive payments based on that farming entity to have their bales uploaded, no later than March 1st of this year. So we're trying to get all that information finalized for those producers who participated last year. And for the guys, again, who are new, for the producers who are new this year, the timeline for January to April is important for the protocol enrollment and that Climate Smart participation.
Well, Tilman, if folks want to learn more, I'm sure they can go online, trustuscotton.org, to get much more information, can't they?
Yes, sir, that's correct. They can go to our website where they can, you know, go through all our different information for all of our members, not only from the, you know, producer perspective, but also to the brands and retailers and the different roles our members play. And also, we have a new section on our website for the Climate Smart Program. So they can go under there, learn about the Climate Smart, you know, cotton program and all the different levels and how they can participate there.
trustuscotton.org for more information. With that, Tillman White, Program Manager with the Cotton Trust Protocol, thanks for joining us on AOA, Tillman. Appreciate the time.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Jesse.
And that wraps up today's AOA. Thanks for joining us. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Have a great rest of your day.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home? And you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-926-1701. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-926-1701. 800-926-1701. That's 800-926-1701.
Now. We tend not to think about now. We dream about tomorrow, relive yesterday. But sometimes we don't see what's right in front of us. Victory over cancer is in front of us. Right now. Cancer research is saving lives. Cancer research funded by the V Foundation is leading to new discoveries and new treatments, and ultimately, one day.
KFC's new Smash Potato Bowl is out here looking like an absolute snack. For just $3.49, you get crispy secret recipe fries topped with creamy mashed potatoes, cheese sauce, bacon crumbles, and even more melty cheese. If you're looking to smash your hunger, grab KFC's new Smash Potato Bowl for just $3.49. For a little extra, add nuggets to the mix. It's finger-licking good. Prices and participation may vary.